And they run through our ass like shit through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
It's ridiculous that they do. That was a huge colony. Well, we didn't miss it. You know, the typical rah, 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 zip, boom, bah, boo.
You don't cuss. You don't drink. So what are your vices?
I have been known to chew a bit of tobacco when I get a little tired or watching film.
Hey, I'm Coach O. I just love my Hummer. I have my Hummer. You need a Hummer? Tell them about it, JoJo.
They've won the biggest championship, and that's the championship of life.
Gas control. Everybody just do your job. You understand that?
Welcome in to the latest episode of That SEC Podcast. I'm your host, Michael Bratton. I go by SEC Mike on Twitter, and I'm joined, as always, by my cousin Shane, who goes by Big Orange Vols on Twitter. What are you up to, you big Tennessee homer?
Hey, buddy. Just enjoying this beautiful morning. How are you today?
Yes, indeed. And it is a beautiful morning for you, for sure. I'm feeling kind of the same. Tennessee won, Florida lost. I mean, it doesn't get much better than that.
No. I'm cloud nine right here. I am on cloud nine, brother.
Yeah, so we just wanted to do a quick reactions podcast. This might be a little bit shorter than your typical one, but we just wanted to get some, you know, immediate reaction to all the action on Saturday. And there was so much going on. You know, we referenced the Kentucky-Florida game, but I think we got to start with Georgia-South Carolina. Georgia came out, traveled to South Carolina, beat the hell out of the Gamecocks, final score 41-17. I know I saw that one coming, but what's your thoughts to just the ass-whooping that Georgia put on?
Very impressed, man. I mean, I was worried about these defensive backs coming into this year, and I tell you what, man, I think that group of boys was the most tuned in on that team yesterday, and I was impressed. I mean, to keep Debo and all them in check, and golly, I'm telling you, man, Georgia looks tough. I think they're the best team in the conference right now.
Yeah, you know, I think this game could have been a lot worse, because Georgia came out immediately, got the pick six, and South Carolina still kind of hung around for about a quarter. I kind of thought it was going to be like a Tennessee-Georgia situation last year, where Georgia got on the board early and just dominated. And, you know, not to say that they didn't, because they completely dominated the third quarter. And, you know, it was never in doubt. But I thought it actually could have been worse, which is kind of saying something, considering it was 41-17.
I'm a little worried about this offensive coordinator, man. It's like they just abandoned the run in the first quarter, you know. And when you get one dimensional, it made it easier for Georgia to win this thing. So I just think they need to get back to the drawing board.
Yeah. Okay. So next game, obviously we've already referenced it. This is just huge news. Neither one of us picked this one, although I did pick Kentucky to cover. Kentucky ends the 31-year losing streak, wins in Gainesville, 27-16. Man, I don't know what to say, man, but Florida fans are fucking silent as shit today.
Yeah, not a lot of Twitter reaction today, you know. I mean, they were tweeting me like crazy when West Virginia beat the brakes off of us, you know. Now the 31 years, and Dan called it, you know. He knew this streak was going to end, so he just didn't know it was going to end this week, you know.
Well, I don't know about you, Shane, but even though – you know, Kentucky, at halftime, Florida had the lead, and Kentucky kind of came out second half, looked like the better team, and basically had the lead for almost the entire second half. But I still felt like Florida was going to come back and find a way. It just seems like that's what happens in this game. That's what happens in, you know, the Florida-Tennessee game. Florida just always finds a way, and they did not even really put up much of a fight here in the end.
No, I mean, this was like, I've never seen a game end like this, you know. It's like the opposite of a Hail Mary, you know. I mean, literally, it was – I've never seen one finish this way. And Florida had an opportunity to get back in this ball game. And I'll tell you what, man, that Wilson looked really good. You know, he threw a couple bad passes, you know, and almost cost the game. But I think he put this team in better situations than worse situations yesterday. So – my biggest take from this game, honestly, is Florida's defense isn't as good as we thought it were.
Well, and this is something that I did reference after the game. You know, a lot of people jumping on the Florida bandwagon after they beat the hell out of Charleston Southern, but we got to keep in mind these are mostly, you know, Jim McElwain's recruits at this point. All of Will Muschamp's guys are gone. Dan Mullen has had an initial class, but you know it's probably unfair to put too much on true freshmen and JUCO transfers and what have you. But so there's a lot of work to be done here. This does not look like obviously the classic Florida defense, and you know I think Dan Mullen is doing an all right job, but you know Felipe Franks looks like a much better player. He still had two touchdowns, 232 yards, but this is just this is not a great roster, and I don't necessarily think this is an indictment of Dan Mullen. I think it's just Florida is behind Kentucky overall. That's why I picked Kentucky to finish ahead of them in the preseason, and I didn't expect Kentucky to win this game, but I kind of saw this kind of coming.
And I will tell you, man, if these teams would have met 4 weeks from now, I think there may have been a different outcome, because it looked to me like there was a little bit of I don't know. They're having a hard time getting the play in several times, you know, and it just looked like they were lost at times. So I think that, you know, if they would have played this later in the year, we may have had a different outcome, but they didn't look ready, you know?
Right. All right, Chan, another big game. Mississippi State went on the road and just dominated Kansas State 31-10. And you got some money on that one. So good job on that one. But you know, my immediate thoughts were just this Mississippi State line. You know, like I've been saying all week, Kansas State was there's no way in hell they would have been prepared for this. This is like going up against, I don't want to say an NFL line, but the next best thing. And there's just no way for Kansas State to simulate that. They'll never see that in the Big 12, and that turned out to be true.
Yeah, for sure. I sent you a text that looked like 15 guys was on that defensive side at times. You know, it just seems like there was always somebody there disrupting something. And that defense, man, golly, they were impressive. Yeah, Hill was good, too.
Kylan Hill, you know, he had a breakout game, over 200 yards rushing, two touchdowns scored. He was Mississippi State's best player on offense on Saturday. Nick Fitzgerald, he looked shaky. He looked hesitant at times. His deep ball continues to be off. He left at least one touchdown on the field. He threw a really bad pick that gave Kansas State some life. So it's pretty remarkable that, of course, you know, he's rusty. So I kind of saw that coming. I know you didn't, but how remarkable is it that, you know, your starting quarterback, I don't want to say he had a poor game, but he had a very average game, and you win by three touchdowns against a Power 5 team on the road.
For sure. I mean, and I credit the defense, because they're the ones that kept these guys in the game that long, you know, and gave the offense the opportunity to stay on the field, because Kansas State was like three and out several times, and at the end it just finally wore them out.
All right, and somehow, I don't know how I've overlooked this game to this point, but Texas A&M nearly beat Clemson. Clemson won that in the end 28-26. Texas A&M had a two-point conversion try there at the end to tie it, and it failed. But damn, this game was a barn burner, and I think this will go down as one of the best games of the regular season.
Oh, for sure. And I was upset that they didn't get it. You know, I didn't think that was a fumble through the end zone there. Mm-hmm. But still, they were able to get the ball back and have an opportunity to tie this thing up. And they had so many great plays drawn up, except for that 2-point conversion. It seemed like they didn't know what was going on. I think they should have took a timeout and, you know, try to figure, or they didn't have a timeout, but at least come up with a better play, you know?
Yeah. And you know, Kellen Mond had his coming out party. He threw for 430 yards, three touchdowns. And after the game, you know, I don't know if you saw his presser. I'll drop in some of these comments here, but I was very impressed by him. You know, he wasn't really even up. I wouldn't say not upset, but he wasn't no blame game. It was almost like, you know, it's just very clear Jimbo's coaching these guys up, just saying, you know, he put everything on his teammates for doing well. He put it on him for not getting it done there at the end. And it just sounded like a true leader. And I think if he keeps this up, I think Texas A&M can win the West even this year.
Yeah. I mean, hey, we talked about they're a couple years away, but I don't know, man, they came out yesterday humming and I think they could beat. I mean, hell, they hung in there with the number two team in the nation. They can beat anybody any given Saturday. If they play flawless football, you know, they could make a run in the West. I tell you, man, that wide receiver looked good. Davis, is that his name?
Yeah, Quinteri Davis. He had a good game. You know, the running back, you know, Travion Williams, he, we thought maybe he'd fade a little bit. He didn't put up, obviously, 200 yards rushing, what have you, like he did in the opener. But he, I mean, every yard he gained, he had to earn with going up against that defense, and he continued to look good as well.
Dude, I was so, man, I kept flipping back. I wanted to watch the Kentucky game, but then the Clemson game was good. I was just back and forth all night, man. It was some great football there at the end of the night.
And, of course, Alabama, the top-ranked team in the nation, they beat the hell out of Arkansas State 57-7. That this is one where Tua was 13 of 19, 229 yards, four touchdowns. Every time I was looking over, Tua was just tossing another touchdown. The thoughts on Alabama just whooping ass?
Yeah, I mean, we expected this one, you know. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't expect their kicker to be so bad, you know. That didn't hurt them this game, but, you know, it could hurt them when they get in the conference play if they don't figure that out real quick.
All right, let's go to your boys, Shane. Tennessee, they put on a hell of a lot more points than I thought. Yeah. They came out looking sluggish, but they really turned it on there after the weather delay. They won 59-3. Thoughts on your Vols?
Well, I mean, obviously I love the score, but I'm going to tell you what, man, this offensive line's got to – I mean, they've got to get this thing figured out because they weren't getting any push. And this is ETSU. You know, when what are they going to do when Georgia comes in, Bama comes in? I mean, they're going to have their hands full. If they can't block the Buccaneers, it's going to be a long season.
Yeah, Tennessee had negative rushing yards in the first quarter, which is obviously a terrible sign, but – like I said, there was the weather delay, and that really seemed to, for whatever reason, that motivated them. You know, those back-to-back games, Tennessee's had a weather delay, so I kind of joked that Jeremy Pruitt went from having no idea how to handle that to mastering it in a single week. So there's a positive. It was impressive to see Tennessee's special team score a touchdown, Tennessee's defense score a touchdown. They nearly scored another touchdown on defense. So, you know, there's always comparisons between Pruitt and Saban, and I think you're starting to see his program emulate that a little bit. Of course, this is just ETSU, but this is what you've got to do to when your offense is not really, you know, getting off to a fast gear. The rest of the units have got to help, and that kind of kick-started the offense and just kind of let the ball start, get the ball rolling down the hill, so to speak.
Yeah, exactly. And this defensive line looked good. Phillips had like four or five pass deflections, you know, getting their hands up, and I was impressed with the defense. I thought the DBs did better. You know, they were blanketing these receivers, and that's what you want. So I'm just from week one to week two. You know, a lot of film studies paid off for the defense.
Now let's talk about Vanderbilt real quick because that's a team I didn't have much expectations for this year, and I mean they're kicking ass. They beat Nevada 41-10, and Nevada scored 72 points last week. So this Vanderbilt defense is for real.
Yeah, man. I mean, I kept picking against them. You know, they got their hands full next week. But I tell you what, man, Vandy looked good, man. And I hate to say that, you know, because I'm Tennessee homer. But I'm telling you, their defense is stout.
And then how about Ole Miss? They scored 76 against Southern Illinois, which is a good.
Speaking of defense,
the bad. They gave up 41 to Southern Illinois, and they shut them out in the fourth quarter. But I mean, this was basically a score for a score for until the third quarter. I mean, how pathetic is that?
Man, I think they just need an onside kick every time. You know, every time they score, that's your best chance of getting them you know, just. At least every other time, get this defense a break if you cover one. So, like you said, man, this offense can't be stopped, but this defense can't stop anybody. You know, so it's going to be a interesting year for Ole Miss.
Okay, I saved these two for the last because these were our two upset specials. One of us did really well, and one of us not so much. I went with Missouri to lose to Wyoming, and that proved to be a pretty dumbass pick there because Missouri won 40-13, and I'll own up to making that mistake. But at the same time, there was no fucking rain. I was told rain all week. I was checking the forecast every day, and every day there was more and more rain projected, more wind, and that was all bullshit. It didn't rain at all. But I'm an idiot, so there. Now, on the other side of the coin, Shane picked Colorado State, right, to beat Arkansas, didn't you?
That's right.
And Colorado State got it done. They scored 24 unanswered. That's incredible. I mean, so Arkansas was in control of this game until something. I don't know what the hell that Colorado State did on the sidelines there, but they went in and they get the win 34-27. How troubling is that for Chad Morris?
Oh, huge, man. I bet Morris doesn't have a hard time picking out some good stuff for Colorado State this week because he got to see it, you know. I think it was just and the thing is, Colorado State's not a great team. You know, this is what we were worried about, that Arkansas would be the worst team in the conference this year. And this is just icing on the cake. I mean, they're several years away. They're really thin on offense, especially the line. And I think it really showed there toward the end of the game.
Yeah, and Preston Williams, I don't know if you saw his stat line, 12 catches, 154 yards, 2 touchdowns. Between him and T. Higgins, Tennessee has left a couple All-Americans out on the field there.
Oh, man. Didn't that crush my spirit, man. You know, just seeing T. do so well, seeing Preston do well, and even freaking Jalen had 100-something yards receiving down at Baylor. So, yeah, it was I'm glad Butch is gone, you know, and let's just move forward. But, yeah, those guys look really good.
The only other two scores in the SEC, but not really any money takeaways here. LSU beats Southeast Louisiana 31-0, and Auburn beat Alabama State 63-9, but they didn't cover that 80-point spread. All right, now I want to jump into my SEC Week 3 power rankings. This is something I put out immediately after the games on Saturday. Usually get a lot of reaction to these. And just keep in mind, power rankings, in my mind, is just, you know, it's a combination of factors. It's, you know, who you've beaten. It's how impressive you've looked. And it's not necessarily to say, you know, the team above one another is necessarily a more talented team or a better coach team, but just basically the teams that I think are on a roll right now. And if you know, Team 7 played Team 8, I think Team 7 would likely win on a neutral field the way they're playing right now. So here's a rundown of how I rank the teams after 2 weeks in the SEC. I've got Georgia number 1. I've got Alabama number 2. I got Mississippi State number 3. I got Texas A&M number 4. I got Kentucky number 5. Auburn number 6. LSU number 7. Vanderbilt number 8. Missouri number 9. South Carolina number 10. Florida number 11, Ole Miss number 12, 13 Tennessee, and Arkansas dead last at 14. Thoughts on that, Shane?
Well, you know, I think you were a little high on Vandy in Missouri. I think we're giving the schedule a little too much credit.
Mm-hmm.
Because I guarantee you put Ole Miss and Vanderbilt right now, there's no way I wouldn't take Ole Miss, especially if it was straight up, you know. You know, so I thought you were a little low on Ole Miss. Obviously Tennessee should have been up at least one more, you know, I mean, but other than that, no, they look good. So that's the only thing the Vanderbilt, Missouri, I just think we're giving the schedule too much, you know, just too much. They haven't played really anybody, you know?
Yeah. And we'll know more about Vanderbilt next week because they travel to Notre Dame, but I'm just incredibly impressed by defense. I think in most of these key games, and that's why I have Ole Miss so low, because I think like next week when they play Alabama, I don't think they're going to be able to stop them. So, you know, a good offense is not going to carry the day in the SEC. It'll win you a game here or there, but you just can't win a championship with no defense and all offense. So I'm really low on Ole Miss. That was just pathetic what they did on Saturday. I was much higher on the Ole Miss coming into this week.
Let me ask you this real quick. Uh-huh. You got Kentucky 5th,
yes.
Auburn 6th, and LSU 7th. Mm-hmm. So if Kentucky played both those teams, you think they would beat Auburn and LSU right now?
I think so, on a neutral field. And I think Kentucky's flying high right now. I'm very high on Kentucky. Now, keep in mind, maybe I boosted their rankings a little bit here based on the fact that they got the biggest monkey off their back that you know, you possibly could in college football. 31-year streak is done. And I think that, and the fact they did it on the road, it was just, I'm just very incredibly impressed by that. Now, obviously, LSU, they had a big win over Miami, but I think Miami was really overrated. I don't think that was a top 10 team.
But Auburn, what about Washington and Auburn?
Auburn, you know, I'm still, credit them for beating Washington, but I was not impressed with either team in that game. They were, yes, they moved the ball, but you know, they couldn't do anything in the red zone. I think Washington just cost themselves that game by their pathetic performances in the red zone. They had an offensive pass interference that negated a touchdown that was unnecessary. They had that terrible Jake Browning triple option play that blew up in their face, and they lost the ball. If they don't do these things, I think they would have won that game easily. And you know, if for as impressive as Auburn's defensive line and their quarterback is, the rest of the team, I'm just not that impressed with. So, but it's still early. I mean, I keep these very fluid. Like last week, I think I had LSU number 3. I dropped them down.
But, yeah.
So I kind of go up and down on some of these teams. We'll obviously know a lot more, especially once they start playing in SEC. But I don't know. I'm just I'm really high on Kentucky. I think they deserve a boost for what they've done. And I think this is going to give them a ton of confidence, a ton of credit. And like you said, Terry Wilson, he looks shaky with his arm. But, you know, this game may give him some confidence if they can take what they just did and add a little bit more passing game to it. I think they're going to be a dangerous team in the SEC.
Yeah, I do too. I don't know, man. I just think Auburn and LSU can both beat Kentucky. So I think I would have had them a little higher.
Mm-hmm.
But I do see what you're saying. I mean, it's 31-year streak. It's tough. And going to Gainesville is tough, you know. And I think I'm more worried about Florida than I am pumping up Kentucky right now, you know.
Right. All right, now we just want to do a quick look ahead to next week's SEC schedule. A lot of duds on the schedule here, but there's a couple good games. We referenced already Vanderbilt at Notre Dame. That's going to be on NBC. I'll be really interested to see that one. The big game in the SEC is obviously LSU at Auburn. That's I don't think they're both going to be top 10 teams, but it could be pretty close there. Alabama travels to Ole Miss. So if Ole Miss can figure something out on defense, that could be interesting. The Colorado State that just beat Arkansas, they're traveling to Florida. So Florida's got to pick themselves up off the mat and face that squad. Middle Tennessee goes to Georgia. That's probably not going to be a game, but I'm basically reaching at this point for entertaining value here. Missouri at Purdue. UTEP, Tennessee, Murray State, Kentucky. A lot of duds left on this schedule. What do you think about the week three slate? Any games that you're really interested in?
Yeah, I'm really interested in the Missouri-Purdue game. I want to, you know, and obviously the Auburn game, LSU, because I think week three, which we really figure out how good or how bad these teams are, you know, once they start getting into a little bit more conference play, you know, it's kind of hard to say, especially when Washington played Auburn. We don't know. Maybe Washington wasn't that good, or maybe Auburn was really good and we just didn't know it. So we're starting to figure that out. So I think week three, there's going to be some impressive games. The one I'm looking forward to, obviously, is the Missouri-Purdue game. I want to see, is Missouri legit? You know, because they lost this game last year, and you know, this is their first true test. So I think I think this is the start of the downside for Missouri. I think this is when they start to slip a little bit.
All right, Shane, so this was just a quick reactionary podcast. We're going to just post this right away. I'm not even going to do a ton of editing on this one. So hopefully it's not too bad. And we'll be back on Monday with a normal edition of the podcast. And that's all I got, Shane, unless you got anything else.
Golly, them balls look good, didn't they? That's all I got, man. I'll holler at you later.
All right, man. See ya.
Right, see you, buddy. Go Balls.